Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Well, we are bringing the light today on Lantern Rescue, a light into a very dark place, the place of pornography. And Mark, you guys got some stories.
Hey, good morning. And it's the team's great. We're happy to be here. So, the topic that we want to discuss this morning, concerns pornography. And really, we wanted to start off by bringing our listeners in on a particular case and rescue operation that we were part of. And I believe they'll see and understand a little bit of the effects of pornography and the role that it played in this particular case. And so if I could just begin by, we are in a foreign country, and it's early in the morning. This operation started about 4 or 5 a.m. I think it was about 4:30 in the morning, and we're meeting with the agencies. And if I could just reach out to maybe TC, and TC, maybe you walk us up to that moment. I don't know if you remember standing there, in the dark with all these people and, the operation before us. Really, at that point, what brought us to that moment?
I do remember vividly, and I think it's interesting that as we got there early, we got a ride there, it reminded me of other times when doing the work that I used to do, where a bunch of people who are serious about the work are getting together. They put in time and effort. They have the intel. They have the ability to go, all the equipment they need. And then we get, we convoy up and we actually head across several towns to get to this place to effect, an arrest. And it reminded me just that there are good people working hard in a lot of places. And this is very much that type of situation.
It's funny you brought that up about those individuals there, because I wanted to ask Alan, and I know all of us have worked with, assets in America and then outside of America so many times. And particularly that morning, it was such a strong group of people that's unusual in some of the countries that we work in. I wanted to ask Alan, what did you feel about the men and women that were standing there that morning?
When we showed up there, we were the first to arrive. Time difference was a little different than theirs, but as we all gathered around, you could actually see the camaraderie amongst all the various agencies that were there. Even though we don't have a grasp on their language sometimes, you could, through the translator that was there with us, you could see the people starting to get motivated to actually facilitate this operation. What amazed me, though, was the different aspects that were there. I mean, you had everything from law enforcement to the computer tech people that initiated it, and they all brought and pulled their resources together to facilitate this rescue. And even though we're from different countries and backgrounds and all that, we all were there for the same purpose. And the camaraderie, I guess, is the biggest thing I could say, and to do what was right during that time.
Right. It's unique how you may not know someone, you may not speak their language, but instantly, because you're there to right a wrong, you have that camaraderie, and you're right about that, Alan. It's unusual because for us, that operation was a little bit different, because typically, TC, you can comment, normally we are the catalyst and driving force behind an operation, and even we lead it, in this particular case, it was different. Can you kind of describe how this situation was different from our other type of rescues?
Yeah, so in this particular case, this particular attorney general in this country had received information about some activity that was going on. So they were actually driving. The impetus that was driving this mission was the information received, and the attorney general here was actually quite aggressive and excited to pursue this. And so he was actually following up on information that was actually three countries involved. Three different countries are involved in this particular rescue. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this man had coordinated with other governments to go and actually move this raid into a positive outcome for the victims.
Mm. Yeah, so one thing I'll mention at this point to our listeners, because Ren's going to be discussing this later with you, Robbie, and that is that, you know, what was occurring was that some very young children were being exploited through child pornography, which was ultimately being sold. We won't say from where and through where, but it was actually being sold to someone in America. And then, you know, plans of abuse were being made. So let's go now, if we could. Alan, if I could reach out to you, if you just remember the moment of we finally get to the location. TC mentioned we went through multiple cities. It was, you know, quite a bit of a travel, but we got there. Maybe describe that setting. I don't know, you know, we see a lot of places, a lot of countries. How did this differ, or how was it the same of what you're used to in typical raids or rescues?
Well, when we arrived there, it was still early in the morning, and the people of this town weren't yet out and active in the community. So it was nice to be able to get there early enough to set up for the actual operation and set up a perimeter around the area. That was done pretty quickly. The initial entry into the building went fairly smooth, as it was a knock type warrant service, and they answered the door and allowed the teams in. As it progressed from there, though, the town started to come alive, and it became obvious that the security perimeter of the actual operation needed to be enhanced mm-hmm. and expanded. So some of the concerning points there were you really didn't know who actually was involved other than the place we were at, and it came to be that there was a adjacent building which came into play as well, and the occupant of that building was involved in it. So mm-hmm. that was one of the things that I took away, that the perimeter and the intelligence needs to be established a little bit quicker
yeah.
and expanded. So.
Yeah, Alan, you bring up something that maybe our listeners don't realize. So, you know, this is an early on relationship with this particular country that we're operating in. And early on, we often are used and we offer, you know, our training resources, our capabilities and experience from other, you know, our life and other country work that we can come and say, look, this is how this ought to go. And part of our role that morning wasn't just to assist, but it was also to evaluate the whole process. And Alan brings out, you know, some of the points that in these countries, they're good men and women, and some of them are trying to do the right thing. They just don't know how. And, you know, TC, maybe you comment. I know you had a long discussion with their TL leader of their SWAT force. I know you were having good discussions there. Maybe you comment on our ability to train them and what, you know, you heard from him.
I think one of the things, as the team has done repeatedly in other countries, as well as the amount of experience that we have in training, whether it's tactics, team movement, leadership, things like that. So usually when we get to a country, we're able to literally work with the team that we'll be rolling with on these rescues, go over scenarios, you know, talk about actual scenarios or buildings that we'll be approaching, go over team responsibilities. And so usually we're able to bring that and actually be embedded with the rescue team from the foreign country. In this particular case, we were invited, we were able to go and evaluate, but as Alan said, there were some things that we weren't able to go with, and it was clear that, you know, there's an area there where we'll be able to work with them and have been invited to do so in the future.
So TC or Alan, either one. So after the door was, you know, the door was breached and the team entered, can you describe that scenario or that situation and maybe even your thoughts when you first laid eyes on the victims?
So upon the initial entry into the primary objective, the team made entry. As soon as they made entry into the building, I was actually with them in close proximity to the entry point, was able to see what was going on inside. They did initial room clears and started bringing people out of the back rooms of the building. There were several people who lived there. Most of them were women. There was one young man in the building. He was probably 17 years old. Then there was a mother and a grandmother and the mother of the victims. So they initiated the care of the children in there. One group of the team did. They were kind of the child, youth, and services portion of it, and they were facilitating the child's care. The other team was checking out various electronic devices within the residence, and then there was another group interviewing the mother of the victims. During that interview process, the 17-year-old was very antsy, and so we asked to pull him aside and question him, and the attorney general did that, and he had some more information in regards to the building across the street. But that allowed the interviewers of the mother of the victims to question her about that relationship she had with the gentleman across the street. And during that questioning, they were prompted to start setting up a perimeter around that residence, which was a good thing because once she verified that he was the initial point of contact for the sexual exploitation, and again, it began with the pornography. It was just pictures of the children, and then that led through the interview process, led to further evidence against him. But so once she confirmed he was the recipient of the pornography and the conduit through which the money was coming in to the country through him to her, they were able to get a warrant on the spot to facilitate another operation on his house. So that operation went down shortly after the interview process of the mother, and the information was confirmed. So we went over there, some of us went over with the team making entry into there. They actually were able to get the guy. He was not hostile without incident. So they brought him out and were questioning him. He, of course, was denying everything. On the preliminary search of his residence, it identified some weapons in the house.
I hate to jump in and stop you right there, TC, but we are got to go to a break. I know our listeners are dying to find out what happened in this situation, how this would help us to understand the connection between, you know, how the pornography led to sex trafficking. When we come back, so much more, and the spiritual application. Where did Jesus fit into this? When we come back, stay tuned. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery, and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. Welcome back to Lantern Rescue, where we're bringing the light in on pornography today, a very dark place that leads to some horrible things that people would have no idea where these pictures actually lead. And Mark, can you help us make the connection to what the result of some of this stuff was in this incident that you guys were describing?
Sure. To finalize the description of, the operation that Alan was just sharing, it's important that everybody understands what was the age of these victims. And TC, can you recall the age of the two victims for us?
The victims were extremely young. I've only been in one country where they were younger. I think it was six and under. And both of them, were to me, the picture in my mind was them being, you know, really surrounded by well-meaning people, but they're in their own home and they're being rescued. But it was overwhelming for them. But extremely young, too young to even comprehend either their victimization or their rescue at that point.
Right. So, you know, Robbie, a six-year-old and an eight-month-old child were being exploited through child pornography through another country, ultimately to your everyday American. So, you know, a businessman in America who had, you know, been able to view these images, was making requests of particular images and abuse to be done to the children. And that was being paid for in numbers, you know, that would shock you how much was being paid to an individual who was then paying another individual who ultimately the family was doing for about $200. So, you know, it's pornography is what was driving that. And ultimately, because this is a country where there's a lot of tourism, the plan was for this individual to come to that country and then to continue his abuse, not just through pornography, but actually placing physical hands on the children. And at one point, you know, we actually had to leave the operation site to go look for a home, a house that was possibly funded by this individual. And, you know, there's more to the story on that. But all of this is started by pornography and the exploitation of children through the internet. And, you know, Wren, I wanted to reach out to you now and have you just inform our listeners just the role that pornography is playing in trafficking.
Yeah, so with pornography and how people go from viewing that to actually going out and abusing someone, a lot of times when people start viewing pornography and they already have tendencies to search for barely legal or schoolgirl or, you know, those terms that people will search for in pornography that are questionable, that starts to kind of snowball into they want younger and younger videos, and that's how they start to get into looking up child pornography and searching that out. So when they look for these younger and younger people in pornography, there has to be someone making the videos. And we like to believe that parents wouldn't do that to their kids, and some parents do, but a lot of times it'll be a trafficker, someone that'll purchase a child or kidnap a child in another country, and they'll be making these videos to sell online. And the viewers, they're watching the videos, and they want the younger and younger child, and eventually the video is not enough. So they'll turn to abusing someone within their own country. They'll find a victim nearby that they'll abuse, or a lot of them will go and participate in sex tourism, and they'll travel to another country to abuse a trafficked child where they think that the repercussions won't be there for their actions and that they can kind of do it in another country and then come back to America and pretend like it never happened. So pornography really fuels this and drives that demand for child sex trafficking in the way that they will make money off of the videos that they put up online, and also when the predators come to their country, they'll make money from that sale as well.
So, wow, TC, I'm wondering from your perspective, how did you see Jesus or perhaps your faith in this situation? How was that part of the rescue process?
So we had talked last week as a team about being singled out and how isolation leads to victimization. And so with addiction, which pornography clearly is, comes shame and isolation. The internet allows men and women to do things in secret that they wouldn't. And all of those things keep those who are carrying these things out alone. And so I was just thinking in Hebrews 4:13-16, Jesus says, you know, Hebrews says of Jesus very clearly that he knows about us. Everything that we do is before him, and yet he represents us before the Father, that he is a very present help for us, that he is advocating for us before the throne, and that we have that help. And I want people to know that nobody can run alone successfully, zero people, and that if we allow shame and these things to keep us from help from the Father and from other friends, we're not going to succeed. that we should not be deceived in that way. And I think we need, we all need somebody to come alongside and help us through these times.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You see, and certainly Jesus is there to do that, but you got to turn to him and you got to realize that, you know, this is something that is drastic, has repercussions I had no idea. Alan, what were you thinking?
I agree with TC there, and one of the things I looked at is, you know, how sin itself, you know, portrays itself. You know, it's not one of those things which is disgusting. It actually is very beautiful and enticing, because if it was disgusting, nobody would want to have any part to do with it. But what happens, though, you know, I was reading 1 Peter chapter 3, and it tells us as husbands to honor our wives. And, you know, the more I thought about that, I was like, you know, the opposite of honoring our wife is lusting, really. You know, if we are lusting after things instead of honoring, that lusting in itself is a sin that just leads us to other sins then. And then in turn, you know, the initial lust then turns to pornography, where you're lusting after women for their sexual pleasure aspect of it, instead of honoring those women, you know, because all those women are, you know, mothers, wives, daughters, and, you know, that it just, if you think of it in those terms, it almost is repulsing, and it turns that luster into a repulsiveness. So that's kind of where I come from it. You know, if you don't start down that path, it won't consume you. And if you are on that path, to recognize that it's the opposite of what the Lord really intended a reflection of each other to be. You know, it's to honor, not to lust after.
Yeah, and daughters as well, Alan. I mean, I can certainly think of that. And you know, Mark, unfortunately, so many men got trapped into this and getting, you know, they're going after kids with the pornography because that's where the habit starts. And in its own way, it's kind of trafficking people that you know, innocent school children do a little bit of a search. And the next thing you know, they're looking at something that they're no way ready for. And
that's
so
correct.
It's just horribly prolific. And the next thing you know, they're taking part in something. They have no idea the repercussions of what it's doing to people around the world, but you guys see the effects.
Yeah, and not everything ends like, you know, this particular rescue did. You know, there are so many children, victims, boys and girls, who are being exploited on the internet for the pleasure of sinful man. And it's hard because, you know, looking back at those two young children and realizing what had happened to them, I'll never forget how they looked and how that situation was. But it's disheartening to know that there are those children that are suffering that right now as we have this show every minute of the day, and no one's coming to their rescue. You know, we're so thankful that one ended the way it did. Those two children were rescued. There was multiple arrests made. Today they are doing very well. They're in a place of love and safety. And, you know, and have a future in front of them. But definitely, you know, we need to be concerned not just for, you know, our children, our own children, but those that are susceptible to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and Ren, along these lines, you're always so helpful in giving us some guidelines of things that we could be praying for, to, you know, in this whole pornography issue, of ways to stop the consumption. And obviously, you guys are working at the actual production of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, with that, it's just people really need to come to Jesus and understand that what they're doing is wrong. And we, you know, we always pray for the victims, we pray for our teammates, and that's amazing, and we love that. But definitely also consider praying for the predators and the traffickers as well, because they need to change their hearts, and they really need to see the light, and that what they're doing is wrong, and they need to be aware of that. So It's a difficult thing. It's a dark thing, and it's hard to consider having mercy for these people, but we have to have that as well.
Wow. And Mark, what would be some ways that you feel like our listeners could, you know, engage with you guys to help along these lines?
You know, one is we try to provide information not just about ourselves, but other organizations that are working in this area as well. There is just this week we sent out an email newsletter that listed several programs and software options for parents to help monitor their children and their activity online and to keep them safe. And then, so tap into our Instagram, tap into our website, landandrescue.org. And then, of course, don't hesitate to communicate to us. We're not in a bubble where we don't want to have interaction with people. We want our listeners, we want our volunteers to reach out to us with their ideas, with their questions, because collectively this is something we need your help and support. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. We're a small team, and it's a big world. But when we feel the impact of those behind us who pray for us and talk to us and communicate with us, man, it just encourages us to keep going on.
Yeah, and last week, for some that didn't hear it, you guys gave out a way that you could sign a petition that would bring down one of these campsites, which is, clearly huge pornography. Wren, could you share with our listeners again? It's on your Instagram page?
It is, yeah. So you can find that on our Instagram page under the post that says Trafficking Hub. And you can also just Google Trafficking Hub, and that should take you right to the petition to shut down Pornhub.
Wow, that's just absolutely awesome. Again, we would remind you that what an opportunity we have to actually pray for the team of Land and Rescue by name. It's TC and Alan and Mark and Wren. Again, that's TC, Alan, Mark, and Wren. You could be praying for them. And again, if the Lord leads it, puts it on your heart, obviously the team is setting up to go on some more of these operations, and they need funds for, airfare and logistics and all that goes into that. I can't even imagine. So, as the Lord leads, go to their website. It's lanternrescue.org. We're so grateful that you listened today and, that we can all be aware and part of the solution to human trafficking. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Robbie.